Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. And remember that we are the resistance. You know, this is a place where we push back against a world that tells men that we're to measure our worth and value, you know, by things like applause, you know, our titles, our trophies. But we are here to discover the deeper stuff. Our identity. Who are we in Christ? What is that purpose he's given us to discover that why and to leave a legacy? Today's episode is going to be one of the most probably personal that I've kind of ever done. I think that's important. You know, I'm standing in the middle of a tension right now. Maybe you've been here too. Tension's not a bad thing. You know, it's what launches the arrow when you draw back on the bow and you release it. This is kind of like the tension that comes from looking back and wondering if maybe your best days are already behind you. I think if you are anywhere close to probably being in your 50s or 60s or older, you can feel that. I think it's important to kind of talk about that stuff, but it's not just about if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, it can be in your 20s. You know, you can be looking back to high school or whatever. I'm going to be turning 65 in a couple of months, hard to believe. And while I still feel and am pretty strong, I'm really focused and I'm mission-minded. I've been feeling my age a little bit. I hate to admit that. I think it's important to admit that because it's just part of the aging process. You know, in this new book that'll be coming out in a few months called Unleashed, talk about the different phases, the five stages of a warrior. And I'm heading into that last stage, what's called the wise warrior, which I'm good with that because I have learned a lot and I want to pass that on. I was just talking with my old booking agent this morning from years ago when I was touring in music. And I said, you know, I really like this time in life where I get to share through the crazy stories and the wisdom, the trials, the successes, the failures, whatever, losses, whatever, to really help equip others to walk into those next phases that they're going to be going into. And he was awesome. He said, man, I heard you speak a couple of years ago. And he says, I'll be honest with you. I don't like necessarily going and hearing a lot of church sermons anymore. He said, especially if they're shame-based. He said, that was one of the most powerful days. It was a men's conference I was doing. I think I did like four sessions. He said, I really needed that in my life. You know, I just love hearing feedback from all you guys. What impacted you? What do you need to hear more of? You can reach out to me at unleashed.men. You can go there. You can see there's a place for email. You can reach out. But that whole thing about feeling my age, it's not like in a defeatist way, just in a real way. You know, and with age comes questions, and sometimes they're really big questions. Things like, you know, what still matters? What do I need to let go of? Even things like cleaning out my garage. I'll hold on to a lot of things that had meaning a long time ago. You know, ball gloves, you know, just things that I played when I played a lot of ball when I was young. I don't do that anymore. And it just takes up space. Now, I can pass it on, give it away, or I also can throw it in the trash. But I think the biggest question most of all is, who am I now that the applause has faded? Because that's kind of when you really discover the why behind what you do, because it's no longer coming from someone else's opinion of you or your own performance, but it's about realizing and sinking yourself into the gift that God gave you, because that changes lives. Many of you know my touring. When I first started off, I was touring with a guy, many of you know, Stephen Curtis Chapman. And I found out that he's going to be coming through the area where I'm going to be speaking, literally 2 miles from my house here in Anderson, Indiana. He's going to be coming and doing a concert in September. I think it's like September 18th. And some of my friends have been trying to line up a chance, you know, for us to reconnect. I mean, he and I are still friends and we'll talk occasionally. But they were like, well, maybe you guys could sing some of your old songs together, you know, relive some old memories. And, you know, Steve is still huge in the Christian music world. I mean, I think he was the most decorated Christian artist ever, you know, between Grammys and Dove Awards and all that. And I'll be honest with you, there's a part of me that kind of feels that pull because of how big Steve made it. And to think that, you know, in the very beginning, I got to be a part of that moving forward and walking into this field. And sometimes I wonder what it would be like to step back into that spotlight, even for just for a moment, you know, but I don't need that. And to be honest with you, when I hear that voice, I know it's not coming from God. And I know it's not coming from the real me, which is Christ in me. That's the enemy just trying to go, do you still have relevance? You know, maybe if you could be good enough to step in with someone who's still really good, that might give you more worth and value. Well, that's baloney. But here's the thing. That weekend, when he is going to be performing here in town, I already had plans made. I've talked about this long anticipated elk hunt with one of my closest friends, Roger, that's going to be coming up during that time period. And we were trying to figure out when I should fly out there. We want to hit the rut at the perfect timing. And I didn't tell him at first about Steve going to be here. I said, man, what's the best week for us to be here? Well, it happens to be right through that time period. And so that's the best timing to go out there. It's during the rut. You know, the bulls are going to be bugling. The mountains are going to be coming alive. And missing that week wouldn't just impact me. If I were to stay here to go to Steve's concert, it's going to impact my buddy Roger, too. We've shared a lot of hunts together, a lot of life and death stuff. And it may sound like it's just kind of a scheduling issue, but it isn't. It's more than that. It's a legacy issue. Because Roger and I have shared life and death moments. We've prayed together. We've hunted together. We've done ministry side by side. He's not just a hunting buddy. He's a carry me out kind of friend. You know, when I say that, I mean, when this time of my life is over, if he lives longer than I do, he's going to be one of my six carrying me out. He's the kind of man that I want to spend these years with, you know, creating new memories, living on that mission. You know, we're still climbing the mountains, you know, while we can. A few nights ago, my wife Stacy and I, we went to see another old touring partner of mine, Mark, who he's been on here before. I did one of the episodes. It was great. He brought his guitar and we did a bunch of fun stuff. But he was playing guitar and he was singing at this outdoor gig on Geist Reservoir down in towards Indianapolis. The night was perfect. The music was incredible. And we're just sitting there on this dock and the view of the boats on the water at sunset, I mean, money. It was just picture perfect. And as I was watching Mark and this other girl that he had with him, Foxy, I think is what her name is, it stirred something deep in me. And it was memories of the road, you know, the shows, the ministry, the band, the touring with Sandy Patty and Steven and all of that stuff. And when he was done that night, Mark, you know, he had seen us and he comes over to our table and he just immediately looks me in the eye and he says, why aren't you doing music anymore? And Stacy just looked at me because she had been asking me the same question and it kind of hit me. You know, Stacy had been encouraging me to bring music back into some of my speaking events. And I've just basically just kind of brushed it off because I've been so focused on, you know, writing books and speaking and podcasting. And honestly, I let that part of music go. I was a studio singer for 30 years and I walked away from it and I was fine with that. I think some of that's because there wasn't as much purpose behind that. You know, you go, you show up, put the headphones on, you sing whatever they put in front of you, you go home and you kind of forget what you did. And that works great for the ones who are maybe the arrangers, the producers, or if it's their project. But just singing somebody else's stuff all the time, you feel like you're filling the jar for somebody else. And when I walked into what I do now, I absolutely love it. I found my why. And, you know, I let some of that go because I thought that season was over for me. And I think some of it's because I know I don't have the same voice that I once did. There was a day that I could sing pretty darn well. It was a gift from God. But I also know this. God's given me a different voice now. And it doesn't always come through music. It comes through shared life, real stuff. Not polishing up something and putting it out there like putting lipstick on a pig. I mean, this is the real hard stuff that I'm becoming more and more vulnerable to share because that's where we all live. And you deserve to hear honest stuff, not just me, John, trying to make myself look good or putting myself on a pedestal or whatever. But I know this. There was a song that I recorded years ago when I was still recording albums, you know, cassettes, CDs, all that stuff, and touring, and of course, the signing autograph stuff. And the lyric of that song, it said, "You are the potter, and Lord, I am the clay. Mold me and make me into your image today. You are my creator, the artist of my praise. How wonderful the treasure that you alone have made inside this jar of clay." That song, when I wrote that, came from a really deep place. I wrote that probably, I think, in 1990, 97, 98. I know I was doing that song when I was touring with Crystal Lewis and Avalon, and that was one of my favorite songs of all time. It's called The Potter. But now in this, you know, season of life, it means something even richer. It's not about performance anymore, like I was sharing. It's about surrender. It's about finding my why. It's about being shaped again for what God wants to do now. His purposes for His glory. And if I didn't know where my true identity comes from, I'll be honest, this stuff would bother me a lot more. You know, that the glory days, right? Wanting to go back and relive or try to be somebody. Because when you've had success, there's always this temptation to try and recreate it, you know, to keep the applause going. You don't want those lights to dim and go out. Well, it's going to for all of us, right? But we're going to a better place. But listen to this passage, because Scripture tells a little different story. This is out of Galatians 1:10, and it says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be the servant of Christ." And then in Romans 11:29, it reminds us, it says, "God's gifts and His call are irrevocable." That means you might not sing like you used to, play ball like you used to, speak like you used to, move like you used to, fill in the blank, right? But the calling is still alive. And maybe now, freed from the need to impress others or yourself, you're finally ready to use it. Now listen, authentically. I wasn't planning on putting this in here, but a lot of you guys know me as being a big hunter. I love hunting. The podcast numbers would probably be crazy high if that's all I focused on, but I love tying a lot of those crazy stories in that I do sometimes. And then there's sometimes like today, this is some real stuff. It's not necessarily about that. It's about, caring enough to hear the voice of God to apply it in my life. So I had emptied out two push lawnmowers that I was getting rid of, and I had put the oil into a bucket, and I left the bucket sitting out in the backyard next to a fence. Well, we went on vacation. I forgot to take it, and it rained while we were gone. And so there was probably 3 or 4 inches of water that had mixed with the oil. And I was taking the trash out last night, and I looked in the bucket, and I see this orange thing sticking up, but it was moving. And I'm going, am I seeing like some kind of a frog? What am I looking at? And then it hit me. It was the beak of a bird that somehow had flown into the bucket. And the only thing sticking out was his beak, and it was still moving. And I mean, my stomach, I felt responsible. I didn't empty this thing. And I know life happens, especially in the wild, stuff happens. But I felt the weight of this. And I reached down in and I lifted this bird covered in oil. And I went back and I was thinking about the Exxon Valdez and watching the videos from that and just thinking how terrible like an oil spill can be. And as I went in and I got like some Dawn dishwashing soap and the hose out, and I was trying to save this bird's life and washing and getting oil out of feathers like that, it's almost impossible. I mean, it was tragic. And I'm feeling this. You know, people say, as a hunter, do you feel it when you harvest an animal? You better believe I do. That's why I'm a hunter, not a killer. I think all hunters experience that. We love life. We grieve it when a life has passed. And I think I knew that this bird wasn't going to make it, but I was doing everything I could possibly do to save it. And Stacy was standing there watching me, and she kept saying, "Babe, he's not going to make it." And I just kept trying and trying and trying. You know, we just saw the tragedy in Texas where all these girls from that camp drowned, and they're still looking for them. And you think about how tragic it is. And it's the loss of life, especially when you think about, I don't want to say life is innocent, because we're all sinners, right? From the very beginning, the day we were born, because of the fall of Adam. But we know the sins in our own life. And when you see someone young like that, you know, and a storm happens tragically, it's just like, man, this isn't fair. This isn't right. And we wrestle with that. And that's kind of what I was wrestling with this bird. And I said, God, why did you let me see this? I mean, probably two more attempts at breath and this bird would have submerged and I would have never seen it. I'm like, God, why? Why did you want me to feel this and see this? And instantly it hit me. Because Stacy and I had been talking earlier in the evening. We had sat outside at a restaurant and we were just talking, and I was saying something about grace. And, you know, you don't do works to get grace. Grace is what enables you to do the works. And I was thinking, as this oil was on this bird, that my sin is like that oil. There's no way that I could get it off myself. right? We can't. We can't ever do enough to cleanse ourselves from all the sin. It has to be God who plucks us out of that, who washes us clean, and it's gone forever. That sin will never be brought back up by our Heavenly Father again. He's cast it as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. So when you think about the power of that, you know, it took me a couple of hours to stop thinking about the loss of life, but then thinking about the gaining of life that I have because of Christ's gift on the cross. And so when you start thinking about your glory days, trying to go back and be someone, or you think about being where you are right now, and maybe it doesn't feel so like much like glory days, but my question for you is, are you chasing a memory, the glory days, or are you living in your mission? Do you still have a why? If not, why not? Because it's still there. Are you surrounding yourself with people who want to relive your past to try to get you to do that? Or are you walking into your purpose that God gave you? Who you surround yourself with matters. And are you holding on to applause, right? Praise. Or are you chasing intimacy with your Heavenly Father and with your brothers here on this planet, your family? You know, there's nothing wrong with looking back, but we can't live there. And that's what the enemy loves to do, past and future thinking. I've talked about that before. God wants us to stay in the present where He is. So I just kind of want to leave you with this, that, you know, the world may remember your songs, your performance, but your legacy will be carried by the men who knew your heart. Stacy saw my heart last night with that bird. God knows our heart, and that's why He sent His one and only Son, because He made our heart. I hate worm theology, because God loves you. He calls you His beloved. Does He hate sin? Absolutely. And that's why He sent His Son, because He loves you so much that He was willing to allow His Son to take the bullet so that you and I could have life. You know, applause is loud, but it fades. Purpose is quiet. But here's the thing. It echoes into eternity. Father, thank You for the gift of calling, even when the seasons change. Thank You for the brothers who walk with us when it seems like no one else is even looking or paying attention or even cares. Give us wisdom to let go of what no longer matters and the courage to pick up what still does. We are jars of clay, and Father, You are the potter. Mold us again for Your glory and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, if this episode stirred something within you, you can go over to unleash.men. You'll find the resources. There's devotions. There's ways to support the mission. You know, click on like, support us, subscribe, share this with someone else. But if you believe in what we're doing here, if these stories, truths, you know, these conversations are making a difference, just pray about that, because we really can use your support. You can go to the About tab in the unleash.men and you can click on the donate button, or just send us a letter of encouragement or message. Find me on Facebook or whatever, because I really do love hearing from you. It encourages my why even more. You know, it takes a lot of time, a lot of prayer, a lot of creativity, a lot of gear. You know, I just moved my office and got everything rearranged to keep this podcast going. And it also takes a lot of vulnerability to bring these episodes to life every single week. It matters to me because you matter to me. And your partnership, both in prayer and financial support, is what makes this possible. You know, if you'd like to have me come speak at your next men's event, church retreat, conference, whatever, contact me through the website and we can connect there as well. And I want to share one more thing, so don't turn the volume down yet. I was telling you about that bird story and how much, you know, it means to me, life matters to me. Well, my hunting buddy that I was telling you about, Roger, he's one of those, he's going to be the guy that helps carry me out kind of guys, and one of those men in my life, one of my six. He's been under really heavy attack the last couple of years. He and his family, the enemy has been pounding them, you know, on the job front with resources. And if you would prayerfully, and he doesn't even know I'm doing this like this, but if you would like to support Roger and bless his business that he's doing, that he's trying to make ends with right now, make ends meet, you can go to www.twistedtimberscreations.com. You can donate directly or order some of his custom laser engraved items. Again, that's TwistedTimbersCreations.com. You know, he's doing amazing work with these slate coasters and these metal RFID wallets. He sent me one. It's awesome. I've been carrying it now. I got rid of my old one. So check it out. He's got other engraved gifts as well. He even made me a little unleashed plaque that goes on my desk with the logo and the name on there. So it's really cool. But I want you to check it out. It's a great way to stand with a brother who has been standing with me, and I would truly appreciate it. So finally, again, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, share how this episode impacted you. I would love to hear your story. And remember that when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous because he's been unleashed. We are in this together. We are in the resistance, and we are just getting started. We'll see you next time.